question over and over and over. And I'm just starting with this because I was down at Jocks Lake this week working, and I was working for an older couple. And I think I shared this on Wednesday night, but I just wanted to say this. And the focus, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, and you know this, but the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else in life will be added to you. And the most important thing that we as Christians can do is put God first. And when you put God first, your life, I don't understand how it works, but it just seems to work. And I don't understand how you can give. The Bible talks about in Proverbs how you can give and yet get more. Like, I don't understand how we, Julie and I, with 13 children, have been able to help people in our life, and then God just gives it back. And God's just been good to us, because the Word of God is true. It doesn't fail. And that's why it's really important to build your house on the rock, which is Jesus. And so I'm just saying this because in my heart, when I was just there, and this isn't even anything to do with what I was talking about, but this is what how I preach. I learned to listen to my heart. And I asked the same question, and I'm just sharing this because maybe there's one person in here that needs to hear this. I don't know. But I used to ask the same question to every person that was in these old folks' homes, and I spoke to hundreds of them. And I would ask them every one of them the same question. If you had to live your life over again, if you had a chance to do that, would you do anything different? And I had one or two people out of all of them that said, you know, I wish I had more money or was smart or this or that. And most of them said this one thing. When we were young, we were trying to work so hard to provide for our families. And when we finally had enough that we had time to spend with our families had families and they didn't have time for us. And I would have rearranged my life that I could have spent more time with the people that mattered. And I was down at Jocks Lake this week, and this is, and I was talking to a couple because I was working for them. And this couple is, Harry will love this story because this is a true story. If you don't know Harry, Harry's over here and he's our health food guy. And he teaches us and tries to help us eat right. And because it's important to be a good steward of your body as well. And I've seen these people, and they're the jolliest people that I've met in a long time that are older people. Because a lot of older people are happy, some are quiet, and some are sour. And I didn't know. I'm just being truthful. Because so I'm always intrigued with living long. I'm not lying to you. I'm very intrigued with living long. Because I got 13 kids. My wife's pregnant with 14. Like, I mean, like, that was a surprise to us. I got 4 grandkids, so I need to live long. Because I'm going to have 100 grandkids by the time. So I'm just being honest. I'm very intrigued to live long. And so I know the Bible says if you want to live long, you need to honor your father and mother. Well, I honored my father and mother. And I know the enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy, and it's up to us to hang on spiritually. And then there's natural things we can do. But I said to these people down on Jocks Lake, I had no idea how old they were. But this man, we were down doing a big stone job. And this man, Rob, you came over there to that place. And this man is out every day for 8 hours a day rolling his lawn with a roller. And like a roller full of water. And then he is picking sticks up, and then he has a huge fire every night. I don't know if they like that or not, his neighbors, but he does. And he loves to burn. And he just loves to keep busy. And I said to him and her on the deck, were you there, John, when I said that to them? I said, how old are you? Like, 'cause I knew they were old. Like, older. Well, he's 87 or 88 years old. And he works like, you know, like a 50 or 60-year-old would work. And I said to them, you must eat good. And she says, if you call O. Henry's, what did she say? She said, if you call chocolate bars, O. Henry's, we love them. They got peanuts in them, and they're very healthy. And she said, and we eat beef, we eat hamburgers every night, and we like hot dogs. And she said, if you call that healthy, then that's what we live on. And I said, and I laughed, right? And I said, ha, ha, you're not joking, right? She said, I am serious. She said, we love O. Henry's. And we love hamburgers and hot dogs. Now, I'm not saying this to contradict anything, because these people aren't just alive. They're like alive and like, these people are 88 years old and they've got a vision for their property. They just spent like $40,000 in rock work so they can enjoy it for the next many years to come. And I'm like, the neighbor came over to me and said, why are they spending so much money on that property? I said, because they want to enjoy it. They said, they're old. I said, I know, but they expect to live long. And do you know what she said to me? And I know what she said according to the Bible. Now, I'm just sharing this because I'm just sharing this. It's not the O. Henry's. It's not the hamburgers. And it ain't the hot dogs. Do you know what she said? She said, you know what? We have a lot of fun. She said, I think the reason we're so living so long and happy is we're just happy all the time. We laugh all the time. I laugh at him and he laughs at me. And you know that there's something about being joyful. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's not even what I wanted to talk about today. I just wanted to tell you that you need to be happy. Because I've been around a lot of people, and there's a lot of sour people around that aren't happy, that don't enjoy life. And the Bible says this, and I've talked to some people, and some people, they will talk about everything that's going wrong. They will talk about everything that's negative in their life. And they dwell and they focus on everything that's wrong. And the Bible says that everything that's good and lovely and just and good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Even Paul said, you know, I've been beaten. You know, I've been boiled. You know, I've been cast out. I've been kicked out of towns. I've been tormented. But I count it all but lost for one thing, that I may know Him. And you know what? There's two ways of looking at it. And I told a guy last week, and I was just saying, because see, the way we look at life is the way you're going to see life, the way you're going to come out of it. And that's why the Bible says, without a vision, my people are going to perish. And I want people today to be able to create a vision. I sit down my children sometimes and I tell them, where do you want to go? Because if you don't know where you're going, if you don't know where you're going, how will you ever know when you get there? I never once ever shot at a target without aiming at a target. We don't just go through life and we just don't just throw our hands up and just say, well, whatever. I want to tell you, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we need to think on everything that's good and lovely and just and whatever is a good report. If there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. Because you know what? A lot of people say to me in my life, well, you never have anything go wrong. That's, people ask me the same thing ever. People ask me all the time where I, that don't know me, like the people I work for. You're the happiest guy I've ever seen. You're just smiling. Like I laugh, I smile. I was laughing at Jan this morning. And I love Jan. The reason Jan thinks like that, he doesn't know that pedestrians have the right-of-way on the roads now. Because when he took his license years and years ago, they didn't. But I just laugh, right? Because you can cry about anything, or you can laugh, right? You either can cry, or you can laugh. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you focus in on everything that's negative, and you begin to talk everything that's negative, you're going to have a pretty negative life. And we want you to live long, so you need to be happy. And you can't be happy thinking about everything that's wrong. And I'm not talking about sticking your head in the mud, because I'm talking about a vision. Where do you get a vision from? God gives you a vision. Do you know when I was a little boy? God puts, I'm talking to people right now about your heart. A lot of people say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do you know that I've had the same heart since I was a little wee boy? Do you know that I used to find money and give it to the poor people when I was a little wee boy? Do you know that I would see the kids that didn't in school, that didn't have lunches, that wore the same clothes every day, that didn't have socks? I would take the stuff I had and I would give it to them. And then when I got born again and I started to work with the youth here in our church, I would take the money that we had, and we didn't have a whole lot of money, did we? But we took the money we had and we would take the youth group, and the church would pay for some of the gas and the church would help us, and we'd take them out and we'd take the kids that didn't have the money and we'd take them to Peterborough, we'd take them to YMCA, we took them to football games, and we would pay for it ourselves. And you know, as we've gotten older, we still give to the poor. Because God is the one that puts the vision in your heart. God is the one that puts the dream in there. And you just got to walk it out and use to develop faith in God's word. And He'll bring your dreams. What did God say? He said, I've given you a vision. And run. Run with it. I don't fight like I'm beating the air. I fight. So take this vision. So turn with me to Mark 11, and I want to talk about something that I have found, that I've always been very amazed at this story when I heard it. And I was reading the Bible one day, and I see this, and a lot of people make fun of me over my life. See, because when I got born again, I was a sick man. And I don't mind telling people this, because I've had people, I used to be on TV, I used to be on 100 Huntley Street, I used to do nightlife, I used to be on satellites, I was all over, like, I didn't have my own programs, I was always on other people's, and I had people make fun of me when I was on TV. I've had people make fun of me in our church, not as much now as I did years ago, but I used to have people make fun of me because of what the way I believed. But I want to tell you something, that God is who He said He is. And when Jesus died on the cross and He said, it is finished, it was finished. And He said, freely receive, freely give. And so God has given us the Word of God, which is alive, that will never change. And my dad always said this, and I never really got it till 10 years ago. He said, if it's going to be, it's going to be up to me. See, we're always blaming God for things that aren't happening. But Jesus said it's finished. Do you know that when you pray that God doesn't come down and Jesus doesn't come down off the right hand of the Father and come down and do a healing? Jesus already put the stripes on his back for your healing. Jesus doesn't come down and die on the cross every time somebody believes and asks Jesus in the heart. He shed his blood once and for all, that whoever comes boldly to the throne of grace will obtain mercy. See, he already paid the price once and for all, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So see, Jesus has already done it, and that's why he needs us to go ahead and begin to speak the Word of God and speak God's Word, because faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word. And people hear and they can maybe get a vision. Maybe there's people in here today that don't have a vision because it's been broken so much because of sickness, or it's been broken because of life, or it's been broken because of family, or it's been broken because of different things. But God wants to give you a vision today because he's got a dream and he's got a hope for you and he's got plans that are good and not for evil to give you an expected end. God is a good God, not a bad God. See, the Bible says that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But Jesus also said, right in the next scripture, the enemy or the devil, he came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he's come to destroy your life. He's come to destroy your family. He's trying to ruin everything. And it's up to us to take this word, hold on to it, and stand on it. And when you've done all to stand, and God and you and the Word, because the Word will not lie, it'll bring you through. It'll bring you through. So one of the keys to this is knowing this. You got to know one thing. And again, for anybody that knows me, I'm no different here than I am out there. I'm the same whether I've got work clothes on and I'm cutting rock, or I'm in my dump truck, or I'm in my excavator. The Word is always the same. God is real. He loves people regardless of them. What Dolores said, he loves people whether they've made mistakes. He values people, but many people will never become what God wants them to because they think that they're useless. They think they're not good enough. They think, and see, the problem is you don't have to be good enough. God's already made you good enough. You couldn't be good enough to come to heaven. You couldn't be good enough to get there on your own. That's why Jesus had to come, because he made you good enough. So in Mark 11, it says this. And I'm going to start reading in verse 13. This is just one key. There's many things in the Bible, and I don't have it all together. But one thing I do know this, is the Bible says, and this is what people make fun of me about. Over my life, I haven't really had too many people say too many things to me in the last 10 years. Because it used to bother me. It doesn't bother me now. Not at all. And because I know I don't know everything. But there's certain things that I do know, and I've seen that worked in my life, and I've seen the proof of it in my life, over my life with my family. It doesn't mean that things haven't gone wrong. We have things go wrong all the time. We almost lost Rihanna. You knew that? They had to fly her by helicopter to Toronto, to Sick Kids, to save her life. Does that change that God's a good God? Not at all. My other daughter's dealing with things right now. She's got a brain tumor. That's what the doctor said. Does that change God's word? Not a bit. Not one bit. And that is why you can either hold to the only thing that will stand in life, Or you can just go and get depressed and look at your life and get down and cry. But God doesn't want that. He wants you to take the Word of God, and in the face of opposition, you need to stand, because it's not you standing. See, the thing is, the Word of God has already won.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says the Word of God will stand forever. And if it's going to be, it's going to be up to me. See, because He said it's finished. So He did everything He's going to do, and He said, I've given you my Word. Now run with it. Ephesians actually says this. I'm going to read it before Ephesians 1. It says this. In Ephesians 1 and verse 15. It says, wherefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. So he's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to Christians. Like, we're Christians, aren't we? And he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding would be opened and enlightened. Why do we need, why is he praying for the church that their eyes would be open? Because we are human beings, and so many times we look at what is instead of what God is. So many of us are looking at the problems in our life instead of how big our God is. Because He is big, and He's awesome, and He's perfect, and He's amazing, and He's your daddy.
Amen.
And the biggest war in you and me is the battle in your mind. And that's why the Bible says everything that's good and lovely and just and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So he says here, the eyes of your understanding would be open and enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. And what is this exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. So His power, His Word is so real, but it's got everything to do with you believing. Everything to do with you believing. And then he says, according to the working of His mighty power. See, He paid the price, but you got to believe it. He paid the price, but you got to believe it. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and He set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. That's where He is right now. And then he said, He far above all what? Principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. So everything in this earth, God is greater. Do you agree? I'm just saying, I'm not just making this up. I'm reading this out of the Bible. So it's up to you to believe what God says. And that's where the war is. When everything's going wrong in my life, see, because when I learned this, and when people mocked me, when people made fun of me, well, I had a back brace on when I was 19 from a motorcycle accident. I used to have an EpiPen because I was allergic to everything. I grew up with Ventolins. I couldn't breathe without a Ventolin. And I found out years ago that Jesus, not only did He take shed His blood for the remission of my sins, I found out that Jesus said at the same time that He took the stripes on His back for my healing. Now, this is where people made fun of me. But I really don't care. Because I began at that time to begin to say, okay, how did I get born again? I heard of Jesus. I can't see him, but I believed in him. And because I believed in him, I confessed with my mouth and I said, Jesus, come into my heart. And I believed he came in my heart. And I still didn't see him. But then, you know what happened? It was just a few months. And all of a sudden, from the inside out, my whole world started to change. Do you know what Jesus said? Remember Jesus said this to doubting Thomas? Didn't he say to Thomas, come here. Now, I could show you all the scriptures, but he said this. Come here. Look at the holes. Look at the spear. You believe because you see. But blessed are those that believe that don't see. See, that's what faith is. Faith can only be used where you can't see it or feel it or touch it. Because I don't have to believe for a chair when I can see a chair. I know there's a chair. So where does faith come in? It only comes in to where you can't see it. But if you'll believe the word and put faith in it, you'll get the life in your life. And so I got born again without even seeing it. And all of a sudden, it began to affect my life. Well, that's the same thing healing does. I begin to believe that God would heal my body. Because I believe that he did it at one time. And so I just went by myself away from everybody else. I never tried to tell people I was well. But I just went and said, Father, I don't care if people mock me. Because I was made fun of my whole life because I couldn't read and write. So people, I was used to being made fun of. It didn't matter to me. I said, I care more about what you think, God. And maybe I'm wrong. But I'm going to believe your word. Father, I believe that you took the stripes on your back for my healing. And so I believe right now I'm just asking you that you fix my body. That you would heal me. And I believe I receive it. And do you know that I just stopped there? And every day I begin to say, Lord, I just thank you. I'm well. I never again begin to talk the problem. I just talk the answer. Now, I didn't know all this stuff, but I learned this stuff. You can't talk the problem and get the answer. And I'm going to show you that in the Bible. You got to talk the answer. The Bible says in Proverbs, life and death are in the power of their tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Now, it's not just speaking your words. It's speaking God's words. Because God's word are life, and they'll last forever. I want to show you one more scripture before I read Mark 11. And I'm doing this on purpose because I got to find it. It's not even in my notes, but I will find it in Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews for a minute. And Hebrews chapter 4. And I think this is amazing because, you know, in Ephesians, he said, according to those who believe. He is, whether we like it or not, he defeated the power of the enemy. The Bible says he went to hell and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And then he rose above everything. But it's up to you to believe. And some don't. And that's okay. I'm not saying, I don't know everything and I don't pretend to know everything. But one thing I know this, is that after about 7 years of me doing this, of just believing God, all of a sudden, one day I didn't need my EpiPen no more. I remember the last time I used an EpiPen was remember I went to Dr. Ray's on Christmas night. I didn't know there was hazelnuts in these nuts, and my tongue swelled up, my throat swelled up, and I didn't have an EpiPen because I used it before that. And I remember they took me down to Dr. Ray's house, and he shot me in the arm with adrenaline, and it was fine. And that was the last time I've ever used an EpiPen. And I eat nuts every day. Oh, Henry's. No. Do you know that I work today sometimes 15 hours a day, and I feel better than I did when I was 19 years old? Do you know that I can lift up like 200 or 300 pounds today? And I couldn't do that because my back was bad. My back actually was bent in an S. And there's my sister. Do you remember Mom and Dad used to take me 3 times a week to a chiropractor just to get relief? I don't have a pain today. I'm not allergic. I have a cat. I couldn't even be around cats. I have a cat that sleeps in bed with me sometimes. The only reason I do, I let it kill mice. I tell it, you stay with me, you got to kill mice. I'm not. Is that true? When I was a boy, I couldn't be around horses. I remember I had a dream. My dream was to be a cowboy. I know you know this, but this is a true story. My mom and dad knew, because all my mom's family were all farmers, big dairy farmers and big crop farmers and like thousands of acres down Mitchell Way, Stratford Way, and all out in Edmonton. And I just loved the tractors and the cows and the chickens. And so mom and dad took me out there, and they took me to the Calgary Stampede because they knew I wanted to be a cowboy. And true story, I went in there about 5 minutes. I was way up in the stands, just the sweat from the horses. My eyes shut, my breathing shut, and that was the end of my cowboy dream. Because a cowboy without a horse isn't much of a cowboy. Today, I'm 100%. Because I chose to believe the word. See, many people will not believe the word. They will say, they leave it up to God. And what I'm saying by this is, if God wants them saved, they'll get saved. Well, why would the Bible tell you? I'm just asking you. Why would the Bible say, go into the world and preach the gospel? If it wasn't going to do any good. Why would the Bible say to you, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover if it wasn't going to do any good? Because if it's all up to God? Well, I want to tell you something. I don't believe that. And I'm telling you, I do not believe that. Because I believe, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know why I believe that? Because it's something that's in the past tense that's already been done. So from that point on, anybody that asks Jesus into their heart, black, white, Mexican, Chinese, anybody in this world, from Indonesia, anywhere, all that call shall be saved. Because it's something that's past tense, that's already been done. Jesus loves people so much. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I always forget that Michael's so good at putting stuff up here. I want to read from verse 1, and it says this, because this is, I'm just putting emphasis, we try to put it off on God. But I'm trying to tell you, it's up to you to lay hold of the promises of God. Okay, how many people in here believe the Bible is true? Amen. Okay. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass, but my word will not change or pass. So we know the Bible is true. Like, I've had people say to me, well, I don't believe that. And that's all right. I don't fight with people. My job is to believe the Word of God, love people, and tell people what I believe. And I'm not always right. But it says this. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So now, how many people know the word is alive and real? How could the word of God affect some people and not affect other people? Because some people put faith in it and some people didn't. We have a free choice. And then he says, for we which believe do enter into rest. See, when you choose to believe God, it's now an amazing life. Do you know that I share with people about Jesus, people I work for all the time? Because it's not about having stuff. It's not about not having stuff. It's about Jesus. And when you got Jesus, you got everything. And the more you seek Jesus, everything else in your life just works. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So I just began to seek God and just started. I didn't know how to seek God because I wasn't educated. I didn't know how to do this. But I knew this. I knew how to seek a woman. When I found Julia, where she worked, I got filled up with gas. She used to pump gas, so I got my. I would go and buy gas there, even though it was more. When I knew she was going to be at a place, I was out of place. I understood what seek was. I was seeking her out. When she wouldn't talk to me, it didn't bother me. I still bought her stuff. And when she ignored me, I still did everything I could. I did a basement for her dad for free. I learned how to do blocks when I was a young boy, because after I didn't go to school, I went to work. And I just was a helper for Alex McDonald, starting to lay blocks, and I learned how to do it, and I really wasn't that good at it, but I did a basement for her dad for free, just so I could get close to her. I understand what seek is. You pursue somebody. So I didn't know how to pursue God. How can I pursue you? I can't see you. I can see her. I know what I can see. But I started to seek God. I'd get by myself in my bedroom and I'd say, God, you know what? I feel really stupid doing this. Because I'm a man, you know, I'm a country man, you know. Like I'm just a cowboy with no horse. You know, I'm a man. So I never wanted to do this around anybody else. But I wanted to do it around me. So I just said, God, I just tell you, I love you, Father. Father, I need you more in my life. Lord, you're the only one that's given me peace. I used to look at stuff for my peace, and then I was up, and then I was down, and then I was up, and then I was down, and then I was happy, and then I was sad. But Lord, I'm always the same now because you live inside of me. Lord, I love you and I worship you. And I just pursue you, God. I don't even know really how to pursue you, but I'm just talking to you. And you know what? The Bible says this. If you seek me, you will find me. And all of a sudden, God started to make himself real to me.
And it wasn't about being religious and being now bad at people that do wrong things. It was about that God made himself real. And he actually made me useful because I began to love the unlovely. I began to love people I never loved before. I stopped making fun of the weak people. And I started to help them. I cared about people that I actually really cared about. And it wasn't me because I didn't care about people. Because see, we only got one shot at this life. We can never have today over again. You'll never have yesterday and last week over again. We only got one shot at this life, and we need to make every day count. Because what does God love?
People.
Who should we love?
People.
The Bible says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved. Pursue God. Seek him. The Bible says in Proverbs, I'm not sure where. But it says, yeah, it's right here. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. See, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. The safest place you can be in the world is in the arms of Jesus. Neither height nor depth, the thing present or things past, will separate you from the love of God, because God loves you so much. Not based on you being so good or you being so bad, because he loves you. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? And I want to tell you this, I'm not a perfect dad, but I'm a really good dad. I live to help my boys and my girls and my kids, my son-in-laws. I love them. And wherever I am in life, whether I see something or I see, I don't think of me. I think of them. And the Bible calls me evil comparison to how good the goodness of God is. God is a wonderful, 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 wonderful God. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so will he be. And I think a lot of us need to change our thinking about how big God is. Many of us are looking at our problems. And if you look on your problems, it'll destroy your life. When I traveled all over Ireland, I spoke in schools, I spoke in motels, and I spoke in churches. And then I went to the mental institutions. I could never figure it out. I know it's a demonic thing. But I could never figure it out. I would talk to these people. And I would say to them, look at your kids. Or look at your grandkids. You got a wife or you got a husband that's out there waiting for you. And they could not. Now listen to me. They had something happen in their life. And they could not stop thinking about that one thing. And it destroyed their life. Do you know that I was molested when I was a boy? By a man? Do you know that the only time I've ever talked about that is when I'm preaching? Because it does not affect my life. Because I don't think about it. I forgave that man 26 years ago. You know what I think about? Boy, I'm a blessed man. God loves me so much. I got people actually come and listen to me preach. You might not all like everything I say, but you're here. I got a wife that loves me, and she even knows me. I got kids that love me, and I'm not always perfect. Just ask John and the boys that really work with me. And they love me. Do you know what that old couple said to me? I went down there yesterday and we finished the job and just cleaned it all up. So what they said to me? I've never seen a boy like your boy that is so honoring of you. And your guys that worked here were just amazing. We've never seen that. And we have a lot of good people work for us. There's something about putting God first. Pursue God. Because He'll help you be a dad that even when you're a sucker, He'll turn you into a good dad. I'm not lying to you. What did Jesus say? Many people seek money or fame what do you call that? Yeah, they want to be number one. They just want everybody to see them. And Jesus says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. What does God love? I want to tell you something. What does God love? What did He send His Son to do? Die for who? For people. If you love what God loves, you're seeking God. Love people. Even the unlovely. Love your husbands and your spouse. Do you know the greatest thing that I laugh about even to this day because it's true? That you know there's things that I didn't like in my wife that we used to fight about the first 2 years of our marriage? And then I realized I wasn't going to change her. So I just quit getting upset and just loving her. Do you know that she's still the same today in a lot of areas? Still does the same things that made me so angry. But it doesn't bother me now. Do you know why? Because I don't care. I realize that God is my strength. And that's how you can have a strong marriage as Christians. Because all your joy doesn't come from him or her doing everything right. It comes from Jesus. And that's how you can have a wonderful marriage. Because I don't need her to do what I want, so I'm happy. Makes me happier. But this peace that I have, the world can't take it away, the Bible says. The world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. Do you know one of the greatest testimonies that I remember before I close was my dad always had a heart for China and for Asian countries. And my dad went to China, and he would carry Bibles in there. And he lost a lot of weight when he went there. But he met this couple that were in their 80s. It was one of the greatest things in my life. He was one of the top engineers. What? Scientist, sorry. And developed a lot. He was in the government. And they found out became a Christian. And they broke his legs. And they broke his arms. And they took his wife and they beat her up for 5 years and just said, curse God and you guys can renounce God out of your life. And many years later, after 5 years, they realized they weren't going to curse God, so they took everything they had. He had no position with the government anymore. He wasn't a scientist anymore. And they were living in this little 10 by 10 shack, cardboard shack. And my dad went in, and when he went in, he knew their story because he talked to them. And he went in and he said there was just a glow on them. And my dad didn't say a lot. He just listened to them speak. And one of the last things this older gentleman that was in his 80s said, he said, you know, they did this and they broke this. And they said that she was dead. We killed her. So just curse God. But we didn't. And they said they took all our money. They took all our positions. They took our houses. They took everything they had. But they couldn't take Jesus. And we're as happy today as we were back then. Because see, happiness, joy, is Jesus. And when you got Jesus, you got it all. You just focus on all the wrong things. The Bible says whatever thing are good and lovely and just and a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If there's one thing going right for you, I want you all week long just to think about that one good thing. Look at your kids around you. Look at the good. I'm not being smart. I'm not being smart at all. Look and focus in on the good things that are happening in your life. And the Bible says, why would he say this? Resist, the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist steadfast in the faith, the Bible says. Or another scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee. Remember when Jesus, we got 2 minutes. Remember when Jesus was being tempted of the devil? Remember, he said, he used scripture against Jesus. What did Jesus say? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Did he not say, you know, don't tempt the Lord thy God when he says, won't he give his angels? Don't tempt the Lord. See, what did he do? He give the word of God. You got to know the Word of God. So when things come wrong in your life, you've got to say, man, I got a wife. Or I've got something good. There's got to be something good. There's got to be something good in you. Like I was watching, I've always coached hockey. And I remember, Rebecca, were you playing when that guy had one arm? And I had these guys that would take their stick and they'd throw it because they missed something. Or another kid was better than them. And I, as a coach, you're trying to, I mean, you're not just coaching hockey, you're coaching people, life. Like there's a bunch of spoiled brats and, you know, that are used to getting their own way, and they're not used to sitting on the bench and letting somebody that's weaker than them have time to skate, and it's just a whole thing, right? And I remember I went out there one day, and we were playing Norwood, and I'll never forget it. I seen this kid out there with one arm, and he had a hockey stick in his armpit, and he had an arm about this long. And he was 14 years old, and he was playing hockey like this. And I went out after, and I talked to him. And I said, "That's, you're amazing, boy." Oh, he says, "You got to do what you got to do. Life's good. It's the way you look at life. It's the way your outcome will be." I think he was the Calder boy. I ended up going to his house, and we became friends after that. Just a boy. And here I got people with five fingers and wrists and hands. They're spoiled brats that wouldn't even play. Because somebody else got a goal and they didn't get a goal, so they're not going to play. And here's a guy with one arm playing hockey. Could you imagine you? How would you like me to jam a stick in your armpit and see how it feels? Could you imagine, I said to our team, if you hit him, you'll never play hockey again. Like, could you imagine just, I'm not lying to you, but he was doing it. He was doing it. And the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I guess I'll close with this. The way your outcome, the way you see life, is the way your life is going to be. And if your life isn't the way you like it, get a vision of how big God is. Father, Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful church family. I thank you, Father, that your word is so true. And you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a song that says, we need you more. I need you more. More than life itself. I can't sing, but I know this, I need God more. Just talk to God. We'll just sing this and then I close. Father, I need you.
I need you more.
Thank you, Jesus.
More than the air I breathe. More than the song I sing. More than anything.
Jesus.
More than anything, Lord, as time goes by. I know you're by my side. And I never want to go back to my own life. 'Cause I need you.